to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Tuesday, 12th of December, 2006. Bob Schultz is the guest. We're talking about V going to Washington. And there's a big write-up on this. Jerry Van Sickle wrote the story, and it showed up in the Idaho Observer, the November 20th edition of the Idaho Observer. And, Bob, this is one of these best-kept secrets because I didn't know about this until I got my copy of the Idaho Observer. I didn't even know you were doing this.
Who is Van Sickle? He was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He and his wife were there.
Yeah, he's from Michigan.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we did. You know, it's. I don't know. We entered a press release on what's called the Associated Press Day Book in Washington, knowing that all media checks the day book. The AP day book to see, you know, what events are scheduled and so on. And there was media that showed up. There were cameramen and reporters that showed up. I don't know where they were from other than, well, I know where some of them were from. One photographer, very interesting, this development, one photographer was clearly interested in taking, in studying the events and getting, and carefully crafting his photos. You could tell the way he positioned himself and what he tried to get in on film. And I asked him, you know, where he was from. This was on the 14th, and he said he was with the Foreign Press Photo Service. So obviously, it's a photo service, and he wanted a copy of the press release, and so we gave it to him. So he put a little, he put, you know, in our words, what this was about, together with his photos, and God only knows where he sent them. However, the next day, we received some calls from around the world. For instance, there was a front page, pretty significant front page story that we're now getting translated that appeared in the São Paulo, Brazil, the principal newspaper in São Paulo. But it was in Portuguese. And the reporter called us and asked some questions, saying he heard about this and saw the photos. And he called to ask some questions. So we emailed answers to the questions he had. And then he emailed us the article that appeared. And so we've sent it off to some. We thought it was in Spanish. And we sent it to somebody to get translated. And they said, hey, this is Portuguese. So anyway, learn. You live and learn. Anyway, so, you know, we did what we could. But it's growing. I mean, it's clearly, it's not just street theater. It's pretty serious stuff. And there's a very serious message. You know, some are, people are coming away with different messages. Some are saying, well, if the First Amendment, you know, doesn't work, maybe, you know, give me liberty or we'll take it kind of thing. That's a message out of the movie. But that's, you know, that's not us. But there is a, you know, when you look at history, you try as you might to get reform when you're up against unjust and uncivil government and laws. Try as you might to get it nonviolently, history shows that eventually, you know, it turns to violence.
We'll be right back, Bob. Right back.
This is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio, the Republic Broadcasting Network. brings you a more powerful voice than all the liberal media and all those announcing problems we face. It's the voice of Fearless Radio, screaming, take back control of your life. For the first time in the history of radio, you can join us for a classroom, in fact, a training camp of preparedness. You already know the problems. They're not hard to figure out. But you and your family must act now with solutions. Bring a notebook and be on time to class every Sunday evening, 6 to 8 p.m. Central. The Liberty Task Force will meet you there. These greatest experts in the country will teach you total self-reliance and independence. This is Steve Shank, Fearless Radio. Repeat this thought. If it is to be, it's up to me. But remember, freedom is never free.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, and as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a three-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks all revealed. It took us a lifetime to learn. Now you get it all. You can pay off your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. You can start this great hidden career today. Just give us a call at 1-780-457-7109. That's 1-780-457-7109. Again, that's 1-780-457-7109. Or visit us at www.windowgenie.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Let's go to the phones for Bob Schultz this afternoon. Sam in Missouri. Thanks for holding, Sam.
Hey, good afternoon, John, and good afternoon, Bob. It's good hearing you on broadcast again. It's been a while, but blessings to you, and thanks for hanging in there with a good fight, as so many of us are.
Thank you, Sam.
My question is this. I'm wondering what the position is of we the people on the issue of this fair tax, and it's something that I've alerted people to be very careful about, because as we fight this issue against the income tax, which we should. I think Aaron Russo pointed that out real good in his movie, America Freedom to Fascism, in which nothing in this tax goes to pay for infrastructure or anything here in the country. It all goes to the banksters. And so I think that's been made quite clear. But we have an element of people out there, Bob, that are pushing this fair tax. And I've confronted some of these people several times. And one of the misnomers that they keep trumpeting is that this tax will fund government at current levels. And, of course, my thing that I come back at them with is, first of all, I don't want the government funded at current levels. I want the government downsized and out of my life. And so these guys, in my opinion, are off on the wrong foot. And I was wondering where you guys rein in on this subject.
Well, first of all, just with respect, let me offer a correction to something you said. It's true that the Grace Commission report said that money from the revenue from the income tax system goes to pay the interest on the debt, but it also said it pays the interest on the debt and transfer payments. So let's not forget about the transfer payments.
Okay.
Transfer payments are monies that are taken from people who earn it and given to people who don't. And so all of your welfare type programs are transfer payments, farm subsidies and so forth are all transfer payments. So Grace Commission was saying it's not just the interest on the debt, but it's also all of these transfer payments. And we've come even a long way, a very long way, since the Grace Commission report in the early 80s. For instance, not too many people know this, but about 85 or 86% of all the revenue now received by the federal government is coming from the individual income tax, and or from the, yeah, from the tax, and about 11% is coming from and dropping, going down all the time. It'll be at 7% before too long, coming from corporate taxes. The rest coming from things like tariffs, duties, imposts, and so forth. So this is part of the problem, and I think this is why you see, in large part, why you see people like Irwin Schiff and others being treated the way they've been treated by the by our judiciary. There is a lot at stake now. I mean, As far as I'm concerned, tough. You know, if it's unconstitutional, find another way and find it quickly. The individual income tax, the unapportioned direct tax on labor, is unconstitutional. Period, and it has to go.
Now, what is the difference between the fair tax and how they implement that versus the income tax, Bob?
Well, the fair tax. basically is a federal is a call for a federal sales tax, and personally I believe that it would be better than what we have now. However, I don't think it would pass constitutional muster. Here's why. The founders authorized Congress to pass, as we know, two types of taxes: indirect taxes, the excise taxes, taxes on corporate privileges, and tariffs, duties, imposts. Taxes, in other words, that we could avoid paying if we don't want to pay them. You don't have to buy the product. And the other tax, the direct tax, has to be apportioned. And that's why it's so difficult. The founders knew it would be very, very difficult to apportion a tax so that everybody, every taxpayer, pays the exact same amount, $12.37 on every real estate transaction, so forth. So knowing how difficult it was, they put that in there. And these are taxes that we could not avoid, but these direct taxes. So the direct unapportioned tax on labor is a direct tax, and it's unconstitutional. And so the principle behind the taxing clauses of being able to avoid a tax, having the people able to avoid a tax if they didn't want to pay it, gets violated, I think, with a national sales tax, that principle, because here I am sitting in upstate New York where it gets pretty cold. And so the outside temperature can get, you know, 27 below. And so I might have a pipe freeze in my house and flood the place. And to fix it, I have to maybe hire somebody to do the work, pay a tax on that. I have to buy the new materials and on and on. That's not a those are not products and services that I could easily avoid. I would have to pay them or move out of my house. And that violates the fundamental principle behind the taxing clauses of the very fundamental principle behind the taxing clauses of the Constitution. So a national sales tax, I think, has constitutional problems. That's my personal take on it. I think it would be better than what we have now, but still would not pass constitutional muster.
Any more than the 16th Amendment and doing what they did with the federal income tax.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else, Sam?
Well, I think the reason I'm so concerned about this, you figure they talk about it, you know, like a 20-some-odd percent tax.
33%.
What did you say now, Bob?
It's up to 33%.
Yeah, can you imagine, though, on every single thing you purchase?
Well, you have to do a total, you know, review. You have to look at all the impacts. You have to quantify all the impacts. You have to look at what it would remove and what it would add and how an individual homeowner would come out in the end. It sounds very, very high, but still, you got to look at what they're promising. And there's also a fear I have that we may end up with both an income tax and a national sales tax.
I was just going to say that. For the states that don't have income taxes, mm-hmm. what they just do is raise the state sales tax. Down here in Texas, it's 8%, which just about equates to a state income tax. Mm-hmm. But if you were to buy a house, do you then have to pay the sales tax, the state sales tax, and then the federal tax on top of it?
Well, these are all issues. So, you know, I think we need to begin putting taxes back at the borders for obvious reasons.
Well,
we don't have a level playing field.
Yeah.
We're up against the free traders might say, well, you know, we got to take them down. We need free trade. Well, it's not free trade. It would be one thing if some of these other countries were not subsidizing their manufacturers, or they had the same environmental standards that we apply, and on I could go, but it's just not a level playing field.
What's the deficit now with China, with Red China? They're shipping all these goods. All the American manufacturers went over there, set up shop, used the cheap labor pool over there, are able. And I've said this before, Bob, on that issue, that I don't care if an American company wants to go overseas and open up its doors and start manufacturing and selling, as long as they do it in the country that they opened up their factory in. Why are they allowed to open up a factory, use that cheap labor, ship it back into this country cheaper than they can have it manufactured and distributed here, and then we keep running these massive deficits? I mean,
not only cheaper labor, but labor that is oppressed. They do not have the same ability to speak freely and to publish freely, and they don't have the same freedoms. In many instances, they are really oppressed, and so we're encouraging that kind of regime, that kind of governance by simply, it seems to me, at least based on what I know, that we're just encouraging these lawless, you know, regimes, the tyranny and despotism that a lot of people are experiencing. China is an example. It's a communist country.
We have an unholy alliance with the globalists out there. We have this unholy alliance between banking, government, and business and
mm-hmm.
corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of power being wielded.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go back to the phones here. Bill in Texas. Hello, Bill.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
Listen, the reason I called in is earlier in the broadcast you had mentioned that sometime down the road you're going to try to get 1,000 people together, and you're trying to decide whether you're going to dress up as either Jefferson or V.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminded me, just a few nights ago I was with a group of people here in Austin, and somebody brought up a really interesting analogy that I'd like to make. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a pretty clear picture from history of what Jefferson was and what he stood for, what kind of a real American he was. V naturally wasn't an American, but we could see what he stood for in this movie. And this guy asked the question, he says, how many of you here, and there was a fairly decent group of people, consider themselves to be a real American? And all these people were, you know, patriots and raised their hands. And he said, now, how many here would say that you're the same kind of American that Jefferson was? And they all said they were. And he said, do you know what the difference is between you and Jefferson? Because he was willing to take his long rifle down and go fight these bastards, and you're not.
Hold on, Bill. We'll be right back.
Order the DVD of a lifetime. Into Evidence, Truth, Lies, and Unresolved Mysteries in the Murder of JFK. This landmark video is the most comprehensive presentation ever delivered on the assassination and features the leading experts in every field of scientific investigation. 32 hours of research presented on the most controversial murder of the 20th century. This compilation will make a great addition to your collection. To order this beautifully packaged 8-DVD set, visit our website, intoevidence.net/US.
If you're like the millions of Americans living day to day, trying to make ends meet, then you wouldn't want to pass up this opportunity. Employment and job security are at an all-time low, while the cost of living, supporting your family or lifestyle, and credit card debt just keep going up. So what if I told you there was a way to earn the kind of money you need and deserve? Build financial freedom. Secure a future for you and your family. And do it all right from the comfort of your own home with no money at risk. Now you can by starting your own business and becoming a part of the LifeWave team. LifeWave has developed a line of groundbreaking products using drug-free and chemical-free patches which work along the same principles as Qi that Asian cultures have used for thousands of years. LifeWave patches energize the body's own bioelectrical field to help create more energy and stamina, improve rest and concentration, and relieve muscle aches and pains without putting any type of stimulants or other substance into your body. This is something that everyone can use. All lifestyles, all ages. Just think of the possibilities. Now you can stop living in the past, get out of debt, and become part of the future, your future, by starting your own business today and becoming part of the LifeWave team. To learn how you can become part of the LifeWave team, simply go to www.lifewave.com/HSA. Don't sit back and let this opportunity pass you by. Take charge of your future. Act now.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Bill in Texas, if you would finish up with your story there.
That was pretty much the end of the story. I mean, I thought he made a great analogy. He was trying to share with people who really thought that they were, you know, the same kind of American that Jefferson was. That the difference was that Jefferson was willing to take his squirrel gun, is what he called it, but it was really a long rifle, down from over the mantle, and go out and trudge around for several years and fight a war. Take this country away from the Brits, and we've got a worse bunch of dust spots in Washington than the Brits had, and they're doing far more to us now than the Brits ever did, and yet none of us are willing to arm ourselves and go do something about it. And I commend John what you're doing, and I commend what Ralph is doing. You're great Americans. But until we stand up in a different way, it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, well, let me just if I can, it's true. Violence may eventually have to be fought with violence. I mean, we're suffering violently, but I don't think we're there yet. There is this opportunity to prevail, as Gandhi said. He set the model. When people are up against unjust and uncivil government and laws, and they're entitled to reform, they'll get it, he said, only if they are follow a three-part formula. If they're missing any one of the three elements, they're going to fail. He said they have to be proactive, nonviolent, and they need a mass movement. So we're proactive. We've got some proactive people in the country. They're nonviolent, but we're missing that critical mass. And I think that is where we need to focus. We need to organize a critical mass, a mass movement. Look, 0.1% of the population of this country is 300,000 people. I know they're there. I know there's at least 300,000 people who know the truth. But they're scattered. They're all over the place. They're isolated, for the most part, one from another. You can't, it's very difficult sometimes for those who know the truth to even talk about it with their spouses or with their coworkers over the water cooler. But they're out there. But there's what we need to do is organize, getting enough people to put a collective foot down. You get 300,000 people appearing in Washington demanding answers and responses to these petitions for redress of grievances regarding these constitutional torts. These petitions deal with unconstitutional behavior, acts by our government that are not authorized in writing. It's not authorized. Government can only do what's written. If it's not written, they can't do it, period. Whereas you and I can do whatever we want to do unless there's a law that says we can't. So the challenge for us is to organize. And, gee, it's a whole lot easier today. You know, I've been doing this kind of work for 27 years, but long before the Internet, where I remember the days of organizing, and we did organize people here in New York State pretty effectively, but it took a lot of time and a lot of expense. It was done by phone calls and snail mail. That's tough. Today we have the Internet. You press a button. We have a huge mailing list. You press a button, and tens of thousands of people get that message. So, you know, but before we turn, I would not encourage, at this point, I would not encourage people, you know, taking their long rifles off their mantles. You can't win that way. But there are ways to win, nonviolent ways to win. One, and I think it's the only nonviolent way, is to, as the founders said, I'm quoting now the founders. They said this they passed the same Congress that adopted the Declaration of Independence, so they were not irrelevant in 1774. And 1776, that Congress, the Continental Congress in 1774, passed an 8-page act unanimously. The purpose of the act was to send it to the inhabitants of Quebec to encourage the Canadians to join our revolution. And in that 8-page act, the founders said they were talking about our great rights. And in talking about the first of the great rights, our right to government based upon the consent of the people, the founders said, quote, "When rulers want money from the people and they have oppressed them in any way, in any manner oppressed the people, they may retain their money until their grievances are redressed and thus peaceably procure relief without disturbing the public tranquility." So we can, if we have evidence that government is violating the Constitution by not enforcing our immigration laws, I mean, the Constitution requires the president to execute the laws. He's not doing it. I mean, so that's unconstitutional. So you submit a petition for redress of grievances regarding that. And if they don't respond, then we can retain our money until our grievances are redressed. Now, I understand. It's very difficult for individuals and small groups to prevail. But this is where organization comes in.
All right. Hold on one second. We've got to take the break. And, Bill, I've got a question for you after we get back from the break. I hear what you're saying, and I want to pose a question to you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
We at Republic Broadcasting Network recognize that not everyone is able to make a monetary donation to help us expand our network and spread the word. So we've come up with another way that everyone can help support RBN and the fight for freedom. It is estimated that most people have over $2,000 worth of stuff lying around their home or workplace collecting dust. Things like DVDs, CDs, watches, comic books, toys, and collectibles. For the cost of postage, these items can be put to good use. Simply donate them to RBN. How does it work? Send your items to RBN Auctions, 7898 Enon Road, Pavo, Georgia, 31778. You simply pay for the cost of postage to ship your items to us. We sell them on eBay and keep the proceeds. For more information on how and what to donate, go to ebay.rbnlive.com. Free your home and office of unwanted clutter. Send your items to RBN Auctions, 7898 Enon Road, Pavo, Georgia, 31778.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Bill in Texas, let me ask you this question, because I was one of the guys that helped start the militias around this country back in the 90s. Do you think that if we needed to fall into the streets, actually pick up arms in defense of our liberty and our freedom here in this country, do you think we would have enough people that would be willing to do that? I'm sorry, you're dropping out on me, Bill.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I think it's just like anything else in human nature. When there's enough action takes place, there's all kinds of different levels of actions, and I hate to think of it as being a mob, but I mean quite literally the founding fathers were a little mob that stood up against a really tough bunch of very, very organized people, and that's exactly what we've got to consider doing now. And if it takes mob action that slowly builds into whatever it takes to stop these guys, I'm all for it. You guys mentioned Gandhi a minute ago, and I got a suggestion for you. Instead of wearing either Jefferson or V's costume, you know, a year from now, whenever you're going to do it, why don't you wear Gandhi's? And that way you won't have to put any further modern-day American shame on either V or on Jefferson, for sure.
All right. Thanks for your call, Bill. I hear what he's getting at, Bob, and the more I'm talking to people, I had Edwin Vieira on the program about three and a half weeks ago, and the topic of conversation we were talking about, he wanted to go to the state's governors to form a state militia. And I asked him, I said, why are we going to do that? Because we know all the governors. You know, they don't go to these governor's schools for nothing. They get their federal marching orders. They tell them exactly what the game plan is. And I didn't see the benefit of, you know, you're going to the seat of government here in this country, and you're asking for them to respond to your petition. So far, they've been silent. And I look at this, and I think to myself, well, do we have enough people to do anything? And as you said, I mean, if we had 0.1%. That would mean about 300,000 people in this country, and I'm sure that many are awake.
Well, let me say this, John. Earlier in this broadcast, I mentioned 10 issues that are front and center in the minds of a lot of people in the country: the open borders and the unenforced immigration laws. In spite of the general welfare and law enforcement clauses of the Constitution, there's a lot of people that are focusing on that issue. There's the gun registration and gun permit laws. A lot of people focus on that issue and only that issue. The absence of organized state militias. There are people concerned with that issue. The North American Union, the police state tactics. A lot of people are worried about domestic surveillance, warrantless surveillance and domestic wiretapping. The USA Patriot Act, a whole lot of people from the American Civil Liberties Union on down, very concerned about that. The tax issue, we're very familiar with the numbers of people. The Federal Reserve System and the war. Look at how many people are very upset with these are single issue people. What if somehow we could get these people to understand? And we intend to get them there, but we'll need as much help as we can get. But what if we prepare a petition for redress of grievances, 10 of them, one on each one of these issues, and we put it on the website, and the word gets around. What if all these anti-war people, the reason I'm not out there in the street with them is because I don't see any Constitution signs. All I see are these bread, not bombs kind of signs.
Right.
So they
pick it up as a social issue and not a political issue.
Well, their leaders, make it a political issue. They're seeking change. They want the Democrats in office, so they get the Move On crowd and the Answers crowd and so forth. They've politicized it, but the rank and file. I'm talking the rank and file. These people that are out there demonstrating against the Iraq War. We had it in Vietnam. You know, and so forth. Suppose they and all these other people that are these single-issue people began to understand, they began to see the light, you know? There is these last 10 words of the First Amendment called the Petition Clause. Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to petition the government for redress of grievances. And if they understood that what that right at last of the five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment, if they understood that no court has ever declared what it means, if they understood it to mean it is our way to hold the government accountable, our founding fathers would never have given us this wonderful system of governance with all of these rights, you know, guarantees and Second Amendment and jury and no cruel and unusual punishment, all of these rights, our right to a government that does not apply the armed forces of the United States in hostilities overseas without a congressional declaration of war. All of these rights, they would never have given us that system if they didn't give us some way to hold the government accountable in the Constitution itself. And so the constitutional way to hold the government accountable, you know, to its acts that are repugnant to the Constitution is the Petition Clause. That's what it's there for. And so you petition them. You want redress of these grievances. And as the founders themselves said, if government doesn't respond, then you have the right to withdraw your financial support from this government. You will have the right to retain your money until the grievances are redressed. That's what freedom is about.
Now, this is, boy, through the...
But let me finish.
Yeah.
But let me finish, John. So you need 300,000 people? Get the anti-war people, you know, to understand this and to sign these petitions. My God, you'll get a million of them. Get the people concerned about the gun registration and permit laws to sign a petition for redress of grievances. Look, it's plain. It's the language is the Constitution is so plain. The right shall not be infringed. Period. Okay, and so they sign. And we want this. We want that. We want this because that's what the Constitution guarantees. And if the government doesn't respond, it's going to be harder and harder for them not to respond because it's called people power. People power has always worked throughout history. And so you get people power. You get 300,000 people standing outside that security gate, you know, in Washington in a silent vigil waiting for a response. You're going to get a response. You're going to get a response. And then if you get 300,000 people that say, look, if you don't respond, we're going to retain our money. We're going to withdraw our support. Whoa. Can you imagine 300,000 people that are saying no more tax returns, no more taxes, because until you address these grievances, you'll get change. You'll get that. Jefferson said, and it's a great line in the V for Vendetta movie, stolen from Jefferson, or you know, borrowed from Jefferson. When the people fear the government, you have tyranny. When government fears the people, you have liberty. Now, Jefferson was not referring to the government fearing the people because government knew we all were armed. That's part of it. But what Jefferson was referring to was government fearing the people because government knew that the people knew what their rights were and that they were willing to confront government and do whatever is necessary to defend those rights. Okay? And that's what was meant. And so, I mean, I just think I am totally convinced, having really studied this matter, that it's the petition clause, it's there. And you know, you ask lawyers, you ask most people, as I do often, what are the five freedoms that the First Amendment guarantees? And, you know, the example of when we tried this was November 6th when we were on, V was on his way up to the Capitol. They passed a long line of people waiting to take a tour of the Capitol. Well, there were a lot of college-age kids there on the tour, and they got a kick just to this. Seeing V in costume with the mask, that was a hoot. And they just wanted to talk. They were excited. And so V asked these kids, what are the five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment? Silence. Somebody said, God. Well, you know, yes, it guarantees freedom of worship. And then a couple of people said, after a pause, speech. You know, and yes. And that's as far as they could go. They could not name the other ones. In the order that they appear, these are five freedoms. The most important sentence in the entire Constitution is the First Amendment. In the order that these freedoms appear, it's freedom of worship, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to peaceably assemble, and then freedom to petition the government for redress of grievances. And with every right, and that's a right, with every right there's an obligation. That's a fact. Every right that is not enforceable is not a right. So every right is an obligation. Government is obligated to respond. And if they don't, we have the right under that First Amendment, last 10 words, to withdraw our financial support. And you get enough people doing this collectively, you've won.
Well, there's about 67, last I heard, there's about 67 million people in this country, Bob. They're not paying federal income taxes. So I think we're well on our way from withholding our funds, even though that it's through this convoluted 16th Amendment illegal.
I'm talking about 300,000 people collectively going on record saying, that's it. We're withdrawing our financial support. We've paid to date. We're not going to do it anymore.
Melissa in Texas at work, and you may have to drop off. We'll get you in here quick. Hello, Melissa.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just got really disgusted with that caller who insulted Bob, with the Gandhi comment. He obviously doesn't listen to Bill Deagle's show, who talks about the microwave weapons and the, I mean, there's stuff that we have no clue that our government has as far as weaponry. I'm even concerned if 300,000 people showed up, like you're saying, Bob. I mean, y'all might get cooked. I mean,
well, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Look, we don't have the same weaponry that Jefferson had.
Well,
he had the same weaponry as.
Wait a minute. He had the pen. Jefferson's weapon was the pen. Jefferson did not, contrary to what we heard earlier, Jefferson didn't take up his rifle and go. Jefferson, you know, had the pen. Jefferson was in France, you know, a good time of during the Revolution, a good part of it.
That was Franklin, wasn't it?
No, Jefferson was over there as well.
Okay.
But the point is, Jefferson had the pen, and it works. It's powerful. You get enough people, we can do this nonviolently. I got to, you know, it's common sense. No organized militia has got to stand a chance against the weaponry that our government has. If it ever comes to violence in this country, and I hope to God it never does, we'll begin to look like one of these South American, you know, countries where people are judges and IRS agents or whoever, tax collectors. They're targeted and they're taken out, you know, with these individually. I mean, that's the kind of violence that we'll see. We'll never see the people rising up and standing up against the government and all of its might. That'll never happen.
It will be more guerrilla warfare against individuals in the government.
Well,
there's
another way to look at this. I mean, if you talk about, let's just use the example here, Iraq. The United States military occupying that country is not working. Now, let's flip that and say that the United States federal government is occupying the several states. That is an occupation. If people resist that, how long does the occupier stand? But this all comes down...
There's too much talk here about violence. We can do this nonviolently. What I'm laying out here, and it is working for us to date, okay? You say that, they're not responding, but we got them to admit that they're going to respond to enforcement actions. Well, okay, so they started, you know, enforcing the laws, forcing people to pay. And so 1,700 of us put our names on a caption of a lawsuit, identified, name and address, caption of a lawsuit, filed affidavits with the court, every one of us, saying because they have not responded to these petitions, we have stopped filing tax returns and paying. And that's all part of the court case that we filed where we've asked the court, finally, we're going to get a court to declare just what the heck the petition clause of the First Amendment means. No court has ever done so. We know what it means. If we have evidence that government is operating outside the boundaries that we have drawn around its power, that we can petition them for a redress, you know, for a remedy to that problem, and if they are obligated to respond, and if they don't, we can withdraw our financial support. That's fact, okay? The government isn't going to admit to that. They say, well, you know, the DOJ in their defense in the lawsuit, you know, what can they say? Oh, well, it says it right here in the First Amendment that people have the right to petition. It doesn't say government has to listen or respond. What nonsense. That's rubbish.
Yeah, Bob, just recently the Department of Justice has come out and made a statement that the Second Amendment doesn't mean collectively that the individual has the right to keep and bear arms.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, and we have to confront these things. If the body politic hears things like that often enough, you know, you tell a lie often enough that it becomes the truth in the minds of a lot of people. So it needs to be, you know, thank God for these people that are standing up. And we need to set people straight. Those of us in the, you know, it's not enough when we hear somebody on the television, you know, or the president at a press conference refer to America as a democracy. And it's not enough to just, you know, under your breath, you know, say or scream at the television that it's not a democracy, it's a republic, stupid. It's not enough to do that. We've got to set them straight. And it's not enough to just shrug it off and move on. Otherwise, you know, people, you hear something often enough, it becomes the truth in your mind. So anyway, there's enough for all of us to do, and we can pull ourselves together, and we can do this nonviolently. I'm not against war. I'm not against law enforcement. I'm not against money. I'm not against taxes. I am, and we are here at the Foundation, we are for the Constitution, and we are defending it. And we're going to do so nonviolently as long as we can. Eventually, violence may have to be fought with violence. I'll be the first to admit that. But there is this opportunity, and we're exercising and claiming our right to petition the government for redress of grievances. It means we have a right to hold the government accountable. After all, it's called popular sovereignty. And government has an obligation to respond. And if they don't, we can withdraw our financial support. End the problem.
Melissa,
but enough of us have to do it.
I have one other quick comment. Bob, do you think it was a coincidence that September the 10th was your date to meet with them before, or September 12th?
It was September 23rd and 24th,
yeah,
and then
well,
there's December. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I can't imagine that was anything but a coincidence.
All right.
Okay, I can.
All right, Melissa. Thank you. I appreciate your call. Dylan, I'll take your call next, and we'll wrap up in this short segment coming up. My interview here with Mr. Robert Schultz of We the People Foundation. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, and as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks all revealed. It took us a lifetime to learn. Now you get it all. You can pay off your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. You can start this great hidden career today. Just give us a call at 1-780-457-7109. That's 1-780-457-7109. Again, that's 1-780-457-7109. Or visit us at www.windowgenie.com.
They railed against the crown. Another rectag.
Coming up on the program tomorrow, Clifford Carnicom. That's on the Chemtrails issue. He's got a new DVD out Thursday. Bob Chapman, the international forecaster, and on Friday, Frosty Wooldridge will join us. Quick update here. Federal Mafia takes a toe from Irwin Schiff, continues to ignore its own laws, court rules. Gee, have we seen this before, Bob? Tax honesty icon Irwin Schiff, 77, who last year was sentenced to 12 years in prison by a judge who would not allow the law into his courtroom, has filed a motion for reconsideration of the U.S. 9th District Court of Appeals' one-page denial of Schiff's 264-page 40-page brief and 224 pages of exhibits. That appeal, Schiff's contention that his wages do not constitute income under the tax code, has been rejected by this court. That was the ninth in how they ruled. Schiff authored numerous books related to the income tax, including The Federal Mafia, has proved that wages and salaries are not taxable as incomes, but the court prefers to rely on previous decisions justifying the collection of wages and salaries as incomes rather than entertain Schiff's arguments. Schiff is imprisoned at the Fort Dix Federal Penitentiary in New Jersey. Ill-fitted work boots cause an infection to develop in one of Schiff's toes. Poor nutrition and medical neglect carried the infection to the bone, and the toe was amputated. Regardless, Schiff is still ever the optimist. The government has enjoined him from selling his books, but wanted us to mention that some of the are free for the download at his website at paynoincometax.com. He awaits a response for his motion for reconsideration. That was a death penalty handed down to Irwin Schiff, was it not, Bob?
Yeah, and it reminds should remind us of was it Galileo who kept arguing that the Earth was not the center of the universe, that the sun was, and that we revolved around the sun, which was the truth. But the government refused to hear it and called it, you know, false and heresy and whatever else, and eventually tried and convicted him, and he spent the last 8 years of his life under house arrest, in prison.
Yeah, that was Copernicus. He said, wait a minute, Galileo said, that's not right, and I can prove it. They locked him in jail. We got to take one more call here. Dylan in Texas. Thanks for holding, Dylan.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, We the People Foundation, is available to hundreds of thousands here in Central Texas. Today via Radio Free Austin, Microbroadcasting FM. The movie V for Vendetta was great. I am a hardcore Bible believer. I believe our Bill of Rights came straight out of the Ten Commandments. V for Vendetta illustrated that these people claiming to be Bible believers, that is the government in the movie, that they're actually murderous savages, and the war is now. When the shooting starts, that's when we're less effective. The war is now. It's with the word, with the pen, and at the end of the V for Vendetta, the people were nonviolent, and the army, who was sent to be violent, stood down, and they all witnessed the destruction of a symbol non-violently. Yahweh bless y'all.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah,
thank you. Well said.
Sun Tzu said that before a battle is even ever fought, the battle had already been won before any blood be drawn. So, Bob, I appreciate this. We'll keep in touch. If you would, sir, email me with any pertinent information on this. We'll keep people updated. I'm glad this is going to be in March and not January in Washington, D.C.
The Cherry Blossom Festival starts the day after our conference, so it's a good time for people to be there.
Very good time. And I thank you for your time, Bob, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Pleasure. Stay well.
All right. You too. Bye. Sir. That'll do it for us today, folks. Join us tomorrow, another edition of the National Intel Report. I've seen Clifford Carnicom's new DVD on the chemtrails. It's a powerful piece. Be with me tomorrow. We'll talk about those pesky little trails in the sky. Until then, be safe, be well. Pray for our guidance and our delivery, folks. We need it. See you then.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.